Whether you are here for part two of today's double bill, or you are here just to hear the wise words of Kyla Fry, which I would absolutely not blame you for, I welcome you. I welcome you. I welcome you. You are welcome. How exciting. So yes, this episode is in conversation with the brilliant Kyla Fry of Friday Entertainment, actress, director, producer, extraordinaire. Kyla Fry is an award-winning actress and filmmaker, in fact, whose intent on shaping the future of TV and film began with the launch of her own production company, Friday Entertainment, in 2012. With a passion for bringing diverse and marginalised stories to the mainstream, Kyla believes that every voice deserves to be heard and every person deserves to be seen. From writing to directing to starring and to producing, Kyla's ability to be both versatile and innovative has allowed her to bring about three short films that have received wide critical acclaim and multiple festival selections alike: showbiz documentary The Key, Amazon Prime crime caper Double Cross, and mental health awareness film Faces. Kyla Fry is about being the change we want to see, both on and off the screen. She's such an inspiring and interesting person, and I think she has such infectious energy, and I'm really looking forward to you just getting a snippet of who she is behind all of that gorgeous, glorious success, and just hearing a little bit about what it is to be a mummy in the industry, what it is to be a filmmaker, and really what it is to be a champion of other people. She's such a champion of other people, and it's really special, and we're really lucky to have her, and I can't wait for you to get a bit more of her. So I'm going to stop talking now and I'm going to hand over to Kyla. Kyla Fry, here she is. This is In the Room with Adele James. And here is the unfiltered version of Kyla Fry's story. Before we get too into it, I just want to talk to you very quickly about our sponsor, London Nootropics. If you've been here for a while, you will know that London Nootropics make adaptogenic coffee blends that are designed to help you stay balanced and flow through your day. They give you all the benefits of regular coffee whilst minimizing side effects such as jitters, anxiety, and crashing, which, again, you'll know I suffer from to no extent with regular coffee. I first discovered the founders Chez and Zane talking about their coffee blends on Dragon's Den, where they snapped up the investment of Green Queen Deborah Meaden. But I fell in love with their coffee through the research that I did on the high quality medicinal mushrooms and other adaptogens that they use in their blends. And then through the year now that I have been drinking them, having reaped all the long-term benefits of the mushrooms and the adaptogens as well, like improved cognitive function.
Now, unfortunately, Kyla doesn't drink coffee. She can't drink coffee. So today I will be having nootropics on her behalf. Poor me, I know. So I am having the Flow blend to clear my brain fog, find mental clarity, keep me nice and sharp for this conversation with the beautiful Kyla. It has lion's mane mushroom, otherwise known as the brain mushroom, and rhodiola, which is a mighty adaptogen known for its cognitive and physical benefits. So that's the blend I've chosen for today. Looking forward to sitting down with a cup of that.
You can find your flow and be your best self too with London Nootropics adaptogenic coffee, and you can do so with 15% off of any order and all orders using the voucher code ADELEJ, that's ADELEJ, on londonnootropics.com. That is London, NOOTROPICS.com. I have no doubt that you're going to enjoy it. Grab yourself a box at 15% off. Give it a go. Let me know what you think.
That is us live.
Oh, red light.
Red light.
Red light.
Hi, Kyla.
Hello, my darling.
How are you, babe?
I'm good. I'm really, really good.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
How's the present moment? What's going on?
Oh, life. Christmas is coming.
Yeah, man.
And so is Santa. And I'm happy. We're good. I'm excited to be here speaking to you and, seeing what the next year brings.
Yeah, man, we're really in that time, aren't we? It's like reflection. Mm-hmm. Actually, by the time this comes out, it'll be New Year. Well, God, it will already have gone.
Well, happy 2023!
But I always find, I think it's so interesting to like, to look back on how we were feeling. Like when I first started the podcast, actually last year, it was about this time. It was about the end of December. And I listened back to what I was saying at the end of December and I was like, wow, I really should listen to that girl a bit more. Get out of my head. Because, you know, by the first week of January, I've already normally messed up whatever resolution I set for myself.
Cross that off.
Definitely.
Yeah. So what are you looking forward to this holiday?
Oh, well, it's the first year because my daughters are 3.5 and 2.5. So this is the first year that they've really been able to kind of take on the Christmas spirit and really get involved in all the festivities and stuff. So I'm really sort of like excited about seeing Christmas again through kids' eyes, through their eyes. It's always been my favorite time of year. My late nan, she always she used to like dress the house as a full-on grotto. So like it was you walk in and it's just like poof, like confetti and lights and tinsel and there's Santas popping out from every corner, and like my granddad would always be annoyed because the electricity bill would be through the roof, and my nan would always be asking him to put something up there and up this corner with this drawing pin and stuff. But it was always so magical, and just that feeling of anything is possible, and that it's just an amazing kind of family-oriented time of year. It still makes me feel so, I don't know, like bubbly inside. So knowing that I'm in a position now to create that sort of thing for my own children, but also see how much they enjoy it. Like we did Christmas plate painting today, and it's just they really got into it. And it's just those colours, just all, you know, outside the lines and everything else. But it was just their creativity and their joy, and just taking a moment just to not have to deal with life as adults know it. Do you know what I mean? Just take a moment. And yeah, I'm just really enjoying that and looking forward to spending more time, more family-based time, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's actually weirdly like kind of one of the blessings about being an actor as well. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you're not on panto, you ain't doing anything.
Yeah. This time of year is quiet.
It's really quiet. And so like for someone with a family of their own, like that's a real blessing to just know that you can enjoy that time and you're very likely not going to be interrupted
exactly
by
that.
Some last minute job.
Exactly
like, it's very, very unlikely.
It is very unlikely. Welcome. You know, my agent is ready and standing by. but as you said, it's highly unlikely. And then obviously the new year comes and we're, as you said, we've all got like, you know, our goals, our plans. Which casting directors do we want to see? Who did we meet last year? What are we trying to do? And it's all kind of go. And it's just quite nice just to, just as you said, like you know, reflect and restore and just rejoice, you know, joyful. Yeah,
joyful. You know what? I've really been thinking a lot recently about like the person that I am outside of being an actor and like what I like to do for fun, like the hobbies that I haven't had a hobby in years.
I see you on the pole, girl.
Yes!
Get your clear heels.
I'm telling everybody. Just like having a hobby and, you know, spending quality time with people and just like spending time with myself
exactly
as well.
That.
And just figuring out like what I think this life thing is really about.
Mm-hmm. I hear you, because it's like I think for so long, me personally, like my life, my hobbies, everything was intertwined with acting and pursuing that. It was just like, what do you do for fun? Well, I don't do anything for fun, actually.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, acting's fun and everything, you know, like whether it's writing, whether it's doing, you know, a class here or going to a workshop there or meeting up with friends and coming up with, you know, new script ideas or whatever. Like, that's my fun. And I was like, yeah, but then it's because it's so entangled with career and career goals and everything that is, how do you make it just pure fun? How do you not make it goal oriented in some way, shape or form? And so, like, you know, what you're saying about having something, you know, like being on the pole, that is actually removed from the craft itself, allows you that space just to thrive and just to enjoy and to be truly free of all of that. And it's enriching and it's empowering and it's so important. I think many of us need to kind of find that part of ourselves again. I like baking. I love making cakes and cookies and crumbles and stuff like that. There's something, but it's creating, isn't it? So we're still creating in some way. But
yeah, it's always there.
It's something. It's like you've got all these little ingredients, and then you mix them all together, and then you like wait just a little while, and then you get to eat it, which is the best part.
Yeah, of course,
and enjoy it, and just I don't know. There's just something about that process that I find really, really enjoyable. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? Everyone around you enjoys that you enjoy it too.
Yeah.
They get to, I bet they the kids do. Love
like,
it.
Let's try this recipe. Oh, next time I'm going to put a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Oh, and you know, next time I'm going to, I'm not trying to, you know, be on the like British Bake Off or find myself on the Tesco aisle or anything like that. But it's just fun. I did like Cinetry treats like just a few days ago. Mm. Got the puff pastry out, sugar and cinnamon, and it was like, it was all kind of coming apart in places like that, but it tasted so good, and it was just a way to just be free and just to enjoy and be creative, and yeah, and it was tasty.
Yeah, I bet. I'm a little bit upset you haven't brought any.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Don't worry. Next time. Now that I know that's a passion.
A fresh batch is on the way.
No, that's so cute. So how do you find, because obviously like we just said, Christmas is a time where like, you know, you kind of have a bit of a break. It's like, okay, if I'm not working at this point, I'm probably okay until the new year. How do you find like the rest of the year? Like, how do you, because we have very different lifestyles.
Yeah.
Obviously you've got a family of four, you and the two kids and your husband. Mm-hmm. At the moment, it's just me on my ones. Independent woman.
Indeed.
And all that. Yeah. Anyway, so we have very different lifestyles. So I'm just interested in like what the balance of your life is, especially as someone who's not only an actress, but like an exec producer, a writer, you know, you've really got your fingers in all the pies.
I think that's what, like, I always, when I started Friday Entertainment back in 2012, I started it knowing that one day I would want a family, and I wanted a family. I've been with Marcus and Olude since I was 18 going on 19. We met at Identity Drama School. So we've been together for the last 16, 17 years.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. So we've grown a lot. So we've done a lot together, but I knew that at some point that's what I would want and that's what we wanted. But as a woman, having that foresight and having that knowledge, I knew I needed to put something into place that would allow me to take time from the screen and to have my creative output fulfilled in other areas. Hence the reason why I'm looking at producing, hence the reason why I'm looking at writing and ensuring that even though I'm not on the screen, even though I'm not acting, I'm still part of that process. I'm still involved in that. I'm still creating and you know, creating stories that allow other people to do what it is that they do best as well. And so that was always my intention, knowing that back in 2012. And here we are, you know, 10 years later, having just done a feature film. And it's insane because I never really imagined it would get, well, the last 10 years anyway. But it's funny how just life takes on its own. Once you have that sort of like that seed, and you plant that seed, and you input that energy, how it takes a life of its own, and how things just kind of roll on, and you're just like, oh, okay, this is what we're doing now. And I think that's what it is, and that's what it will continue to be. Because as you said, like this is my life now. I am a mum, but I am still Kyla Fryer, actor, you know, producer, filmmaker, whatever. And We've got projects lined up for the new year. We've got projects lined up for next year, and I'm really excited about that. And exploring that more, and working with even more amazing people, more creative people, and seeing where that takes me, seeing how that allows me to grow and to thrive and just to be in awe of other people's awesomeness. Do you know what I mean? I love that. I love just seeing people just do them, because I find it so, I don't know, it's exciting. Do you know what I mean? Like as where I'm a fan of other people's work just as much as I am, you know, wanting to be working. Do you know what I mean? Because it's sometimes you can find yourself just sat there, well, I'm not doing that. You know, I'm not on Casualty, you know, with Charles Venn and
yeah, doing all these amazing, awesome storylines every Saturday night at 9 o'clock. Tune in and BBC. I wish I was doing that. But at the same time, it's like I'm in awe of the fact that, you know, yourself and other people are able to do that, because work is so hard to come by and it's so fleeting. And we have these real moments of joy and PR and amazingness. And then there's other moments where it's, as you said, it's a lot more quiet. So just being able to admire other people, to work with other people, to take that space and that time away to create is how I fill up, I guess, the rest of my time when I'm not being mummy.
Yeah, it's like your identity is made up of so many things, isn't
absolutely.
It? But it's so interesting that you say that. I don't know why it surprises me, because now that I think about it and it settles, the idea that you would set up a production company years in advance of wanting to start a family is not really actually that surprising a thing, because that's what the expectation, I suppose there is an expectation on women to just kind of think ahead like that. But it does surprise me, maybe because I haven't thought about those kinds of things, but, and yeah, that's a whole other thing. But do you think it differed for you and your husband? Like you kind of set up your company, you wanted to make sure there were things that you could do that weren't acting, that weren't on screen, because presumably, you know, having a baby, of course it's like a two-man job, but like it's a lot of the onus is going to be on mum. Do you think it was different for you and your husband then, when you were kind of thinking about what the future would be for you? You know, it was what you both wanted, but did he have to kind of safeguard himself work-wise the way that you did, is maybe what I'm asking.
I think it's always going to be different, because obviously men and women and our careers and how and our access to certain roles. And firstly, there's more roles that go to men anyway. There are more roles written for men, by men, and for men, and so on, and all that. So there is that. But also, as you said, as a partnership, he's always been hugely supportive of me and my dreams and my vision. And it wasn't something that I ever consulted him on, if you know what I mean, in the sense of I wasn't like, oh, you know, I really think about, you know, coming up with this company and I think it would be a great idea for us, you know, long term. This was all just me in my head, and I just said, this is what I'm doing and I'm doing it. And he's just there. Not that he's just there, but,
yeah, but
just
it's
like,
happening. It's not
it's
like
happening. It's not something, it's like whatever venture or thing or path that I'm on, Kai, I love you. I've got you. Do it. You know, but I think now that we have become parents, it is something that, you know, when you're thinking of going on tour, that changes things. Can I have a London-based show, please, so that I can, you know, do pickups and drop-offs and be home in the morning when my kids wake up, as opposed to being up north somewhere for months at a time where I don't see the kids, or, you know, that you're on your own with the kids, for example. Those sort of choices differ now. And I think that's something that he contends with a lot more than I do, because I think, as you said, it kind of goes without saying that, well, I'm not leaving the kids if one's breastfeeding, for example, because that's just not going to happen. But for him, he hasn't got a kid hanging off his tit, for example. Do you know what I mean? So there is this idea that, well, you could still go, and it's down to him to make that decision. And fortunately and thankfully, he's always, the decisions that he's made to date have meant that we're able to have a really fulfilling family life, as well as maintaining, you know, a fantastic career. And I'm in so much awe of him. Like, the credits that he's knocked up this past year and that he's got coming up next year, because I'll say nothing, because I'm also bound by NDAs. Our own NDA. You're married to me. But like, I'm just like, you are phenomenal. You are brilliant. You're amazing. And so the fact that that the pair of us together are able to do that and support each other in that, and, you know, just be each other's like hype men and women, like the best, you know, I think we always talk about Usher superstar, you know, lyrically we are each other's like number one fan, and we will always be front row with their, you know, their face on a poster. Oh my God, I love you. Yes. And just I think doing that and championing each other and making decisions that, you know, support the overall goal of having a healthy family life and someone and somewhere to come home to at the end of the project, at the end when the lights, you know, go off and the curtains come down, that's really important.
That's so beautiful. beautiful.
Thanks.
Oh, it's so beautiful. I want that. Oh, that's so that honestly, that is gorgeous. And to think that you've been together for so long as well. I mean, it's no easy feat, man.
No.
It's not. I mean, I don't need to tell you anything about how many years have you been married?
We've been married 5 years together for 16, going on 17.
Okay, yeah. So you've really been doing.
We've been doing the thing.
Yeah, you've been doing this thing. But he must also be incredibly proud of you. I mean, to have a film self-produced, I'm getting goosebumps.
I'll stop it.
To have a film self-produced that is in. Has been released in the UK mm-hmm. and in the States mm-hmm. theatrically yes. as well. It's
Oh, my love, before we go on, I just wanted to ask very quickly if you might be able to hit the like button, the subscribe button, the follow button, the rate button, whatever the platform allows for. 5 stars would be so awesome and a cheeky review, but whatever you think is fair is great too. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Sorry to kill the vibe.
It's really something, I'm getting emotional. It's really something, man.
Thank
I'm
you.
So proud of you guys. It's been incredible to watch the journey from Double Cross mm-hmm. up till now.
Mm-hmm.
And to think what that would have been, was that a Friday production?
Yeah, that was in collaboration with Praxima, which is Sam Bradford, Phil Thomas, Alex Strelsma. That was one. My first Friday project was The Key, which was a documentary that looked into what it takes to make it within the entertainment industry. So I was speaking to Sheila Naughtley, Jimmy Akampola, Amel Amin, various others about their careers and everything to date. And then the next one was Double Cross, which was the short that I created with Sam Benjamin, which is the, in some ways it works out story-wise, canon-wise, it works out as a sequel to Payday, which is funny because the Payday, if you look at it back, works out as some sort of origin story for the George and Jen characters, which is really cool. And then following on from that was Faces, which is a mental health short with Ayinka Yusuf,
yeah.
who was just incredible, 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 incredible performance from her. I'm forever grateful for her coming on board to do that. And then following on from that, it was this. The Payday.
Yeah.
And producing a feature alongside, Sam Bradford and Grace Sargent as producers as well. It's been an incredible journey. And I'm looking forward, as I said, to, what we've got, in store. But just taking a moment, just as you say, like oh my goodness, like we've released a whole 93-minute movie on both sides of the Atlantic, and it's been in the theaters as well, in cinemas as well.
And it's just didn't like, they just get picked up by the
Academy? Oh yeah, so it's been the screenplay has been selected by the Academy. I'd like to thank the Academy. So the Oscars people them they wanted to include our screenplay, the Payday screenplay, in their library, which is also very insane.
Insane,
because it's just like to mention. The Payday, Sam Benjamin, Carla Fry, Sam Bradford, in the same breath as the Oscars. Dun, dun, dun. is a bit insane. Whether or not you're actually getting an Oscar or whatever, to mention it in the same breath
mm-hmm.
as the Academy is incredible. And amazing things happen when you just decide to do it or do something,
Yeah, man. Yeah, they really do. It's interesting, actually, because I'd never really thought about the timeline of that. So what, it's been 10, almost 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you made 4 projects,
mm-hmm.
three of which were shorts, mm-hmm. and then
this feature.
The Payday was the first feature.
Yeah.
I think there's something in that, isn't there, about like the time it takes, because mm-hmm. I'm forever telling people, go and make your own work, man. Just try. If you can't see a space that you slot into, create it.
Absolutely.
But realistically, I don't think that sentence lands with a lot of people, because there's not like a, and you do this and you do that and then you do that and then it's made.
Yeah.
What would be your, like, having now kind of made 3 shorts and a feature mm-hmm. over 10 years, if you were going to say to someone like, all right, we're going to make a short film next year.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we're going to start. And mm-hmm. this is what you're going to need, like, at the bare minimum. What would be your things that...
Well, nothing's linear. That's what I've found. I think there's always power in doing and in being, hence being the change we want to see. It's not, there's something active about it. You know, the verb is like we're actively going about making something happen. And that's in, for example, in mine and Sam Benjamin's instance, just having a conversation, having several conversations, is what which was the kind of genesis of the work that we've created, because we got together over many coffees in like, you know, Cafe Nero's and stuff and all these random places where we're just talking about, you know, our interests, what we were fans of, what we were frustrated by, and just connecting, really. And I think it's important to find kindred spirits. It's important to find your tribe, because, like, this industry is tough. Do you know what I mean? You can be in for a really rough ride, and being and working with people who know you, love you, and respect you as an individual as well as an artist is hugely important, because you're not necessarily going to agree on everything, but if you can respect their viewpoint, and if you can to a degree understand where they're coming from, it allows you to not necessarily always compromise, but it allows you to bend and weave and to create something which is more of a middle ground, and then allowing things to kind of blossom from there. So just having a conversation with a kindred spirit and with someone who gets you and gets what it is that you want to get out of it at the end as well, I think is the first point. And then, like, you know, being fans of other people's work. Now, when it comes to Sam Bradford and Praxima, for example, Sam Benjamin had worked with them on a previous project. And he said to, when we were talking about, when we had kind of come up with the script for Double Cross, he goes, look, I know this, and, you know, they have this great director, and they've got a really great team, you know, they're all kitted out, but they've got the goods, and, like, you know, they really want to, you know, they've done a lot in the kind of commercial world, but, you know, they want to get into narratives, and I think, like, their vision and what they're about and what they're into is really sort of aligned with what we're trying to create here. And I think if we, you know, bring them in or talk to them, at least I think we can create something special. And so it's just about, you know, seeing what other people are doing and admiring what other people are doing and not being afraid to say, do you know what, you're really good at what you do, I really love your do you know what I mean, like, you're awesome, you're bad, like, you're brilliant, and I want some of that and I'd like to do something with you. And just being, I guess, I don't know, geeky enough, fangirly enough, whatever, just to be able to do that, and not necessarily expect anything to come out of it, because you can, I mean, but if you don't ask, you don't get. Do you know what I mean? Closed mouths don't get fed. So, like, just speak up and just say, like, I really love your work, and I'd like to collaborate with you, or see what we can do, and see what comes out of that, because that's exactly what happened in you know, the Double Cross, Sam Benjamin, Sam Bradford kind of thing. And then what happens? Well, money. Yeah. Money's always a factor. And I think where we've been fortunate is that we've been working with really amazing people who've kind of gifted and blessed us with their time and their energy, their love and their talents for free. For free, for the most part. Or understanding that the payoff will be at the end for whatever reason. And we've been really, really sort of, you know, grateful and fortunate in that aspect, because you need money for everything, for locations, for permits, for costume, for hair, makeup, cast, crew, food on set and drinks. It's just like there's constantly money. So we've raided piggy banks, and we've, you know, credit cards, and, you know, said to people, you know, landlords, go, can we pay you next month instead of this month, and we'll pay you double over, and just beg, borrow, steal, and just found a way to make it work. And of course, there's always, you know, the Arts Council and various other, you know, sources of funding that I'm sure you can look into and whatever, but there's no guarantees with that. And the paperwork that comes with that, it's just, you're having to, you know, literally all these applications are asking you, you know, what's your project? Who's it for? When do you wanting to do it? Have you got anybody involved, you know, attached to the project already? What are you hoping to, where are you hoping to take it, to pitch it? Like, and you, there's, it's just pages and pages and pages of just you writing. And all you want to do is just make something.
Yeah.
All this red tape and bureaucracy and let me just make it.
There's kind of like an art to filling them out as well.
Yeah,
isn't there,
there
like,
really is.
There's a way to fill them out that might mean that you're more successful in
absolutely.
That application. And if you've not done them before or not been successful, mm-hmm. how would you know what that
exactly.
is?
Exactly. And so it's such a minefield. And I think, you know, where the fact that we've got, you know, technology in the palm of our hands, as we always say, you know, with our phones and the way that phones can and various apps allow us to edit and put things together now has allowed a lot more independence and freedom to create work that's not bound by councils and funding and all this sort of stuff, because we can create it from nothing to a degree, which as I know has helped, you know, how many different filmmakers can bring work to this to the forefront and stuff. So that's really exciting.
Yeah, I agree. And it is amazing what can come from a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's really amazing. You feel this, like, I don't know how else to describe it, but like there's like a spark.
Yeah, buzz, energy. Mm-hmm.
I feel like people, we've been taught by rom-coms to believe that spark exists between yourself and a romantic partner. And I just think it exists mostly actually between yourself and
other beings.
Yeah, a kindred spirit,
absolutely.
As you say, like yourself and someone who on some level your soul just connects mm-hmm. with. I don't actually think that often happens with romantic partners. I think that's something mm-hmm. that grows. I think mm-hmm. I found that to be a bit idealistic.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely I've had that kind of like, really just very clear mm. moment where I've been like, oh,
you're my people,
we're gonna be friends
yeah.
for a long time actually and you know, 9 times out of 10 those people do stand the test of time
mm-hmm.
and it's so much nicer working with your friends. I mean people always say like, oh, you know, it's who you know and da 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 da, but I'm like, yeah, it is, because people make friends in this industry and then they want to work with their friends
absolutely.
Again and again and again,
absolutely.
And you know, it used to be something that I was like, well, how do I get in, but mm-hmm. actually now I'm like, having worked my way up a bit, I'm like, oh no, it makes complete sense. I trust you and you trust me.
Yeah.
And trust is really important
hugely.
When you're making it, especially at grassroots
mm-hmm,
level,
mm-hmm.
especially with no money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're juggling life mm-hmm. and all the other things and you're trying to make, you know, a 90-minute movie in 2 weeks or whatever ridiculous task you've given yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard. It's really
uh-huh.
hard. And if you don't trust those people or they don't trust you, things break down so fast.
Instantly. Instantly.
So fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing doesn't get finished.
No.
Or it doesn't. It's not usable.
No.
You know, you
and
can't
you
share
can see it. And you can see, I feel like with The Payday, for example, when you watch it, you can't help but feel that energy that we had on set and that we had when we were writing it and creating it and putting it together. Because we laughed a lot. We laughed so much and we loved being together. But we also were able to talk about some real deep shit too. And all of that is in there. And I think that when you sit back and you watch it, you feel that energy. And it's like,
absolutely.
It's something, as you said, that like, if you don't have that in the making of it, it translates to the screen. It does. That's why, you know, when you think about how successful Black Panther 2 Wakanda Forever has been, it's because there was so much love and heart in the film, having grieved the loss of Chadwick Boseman, and it resonated across the globe because someone that so many people treasured is now departed. And so you feel that energy surprises the page, and it transcends beyond the screen. It,
mm-hmm.
it lives in the people, it lives in the spirit of the art. And that's why art is so amazing.
Yeah.
And do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I actually did say to, because so Vincent Jerome was on
BJ.
He was 2 guests ago.
Yeah.
And I said to him, you know, you can feel it
mm-hmm.
that everyone's just having such a nice time.
Yeah.
And it does help that obviously, like, there's a lot of funny moments in it and stuff. Like, there's a lot of comedy, but it's like familial, and not in that sense that I think, like, you know, not everyone has the most amazing family life, but I think we all understand chosen family. We all understand
100%.
Like the people that are our people, whether they are blood relatives or not.
Fast Furious quotes incoming.
We've got it all here. It really does transcend. Certainly when I watched it, I realized at the end I'd just been grinning the whole time.
Your face
time.
Was hurting.
Yeah, I was like, wide mouthed, open mouthed, grinning. Like, I was just so, and yeah, okay, I know some of you off screen already, but even like the bits between like the police officers and stuff, who people have never met.
Miles Mitchell and Jacob Anderson. Ah, they're fantastic. And their duo, their synchronicity, their kind of yin and yang.
Yeah, there's a synergy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. I love those scenes so much. I love the way Miles just side eyes. And the way Jacob's like so enthusiastic.
Yeah, so wide eyed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It brings me so much joy. It really does.
It's gorgeous. Thank you. I enjoyed the watch so much.
Definitely a feel good picture. Like when I talk about, you know, Friday entertainment, that's a Friday entertainment piece. Like, it's a Friday night feel good Netflix and chill movie.
Yeah.
Like, you can watch it with family, you can watch it with friends, you can watch it with your partner, and it's just easy. It's easy watching. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not your kind of festival darling, which makes me think, oh my gosh, I love the way the lighting in this moment, yeah. Really. And it's a movie. You know what I mean? It's like, it's good fun. It's good, wholesome 93 minutes full of fun. You'll laugh. I don't necessarily think you'll cry, but your heartstrings will be pulled in every now and again. It'll make you go, you know what? This, the way that this country or this government is being run makes me question certain choices that I've made or that they've made or whatever. So it makes you reflect a couple of times on that. There's a little bit of, you know, smooching here and there, which makes you go, ooh, you know.
Yes, the smooching.
But then I think there's something for everyone in this film, and I think that's what makes it so much fun and why it's been, you know, successful. Like, we're first time filmmakers in the feature sense, but ultimately we know what we want to do. We know what we want to. We know the feeling that we want people to have when they leave the cinema or when the movie ends, and that's just that they had a really good time, that they really enjoyed it, and like, they feel good.
Yeah.
You know, because it's important to feel good with everything that's going on in the world. Every now and again, we just need to feel good. And yeah, I'm glad you had jaw ache from smiling.
I've got jaw ache right now, babe. I'm like grinning teeth. Like, I've got jaw ache right now. Because I'm just thinking back to that evening, like, I had a screening. Not many people know this.
Oh.
I had a screening for a pilot that I wrote years ago. It was called That's What She Said.
Oh, yeah.
But I remember so vividly standing with my friend that I'd made this thing with in front of a room full of people and just being like, hi, we've made this thing. Thank you so much for coming. Because it's all friends and family.
Of course.
You know, it's not like an industry people. Yeah, it's not like we're not getting the BBC in or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, it was just this pilot for this idea that we'd had that was supposed to be a showreel scene. Mm-hmm. And I just remember standing there and being like, this is so overwhelming.
Mm-hmm, it is.
In the best way.
Yeah.
But also, like, so scared.
Of course.
So nervous.
Yeah.
You know, I'd seen it a bunch of times.
Yeah.
How did it feel for you, like, being up? Because it's not your first screening, but it is your first feature.
I think as artists, as creatives, we always have that feeling. You know, like, even when
the fear, you mean?
The fear, but like, you know, even when we're standing in the wings, so if you've done theatre, if you've done a play, there's that feeling when you're standing, just before you're about to come on to do your scene, whatever, however much you're involved in the piece, and you can, like, you can hear the theatre filling up, you can hear the audience coming in, and that rustle, and then it's like, you know, and you hear, you get your 5 minute call, you're like, oh, okay, and you've done all your warm ups and you've done all that and you've done your process to get into your character, whatever, and you're in the wings and the lights are there and they're just kind of creeping through the light and the curtains and stuff, and there's that feeling of shit. Like, of course, you know your lines. You're well rehearsed. The text done. Like you're midway through the run. Even it's just like, and every single night, there's that feeling of crap. I'm about to go on stage, and bear my soul to what feels like the world. But it's just, you know, whether it's a 40 seater, 200 seater, 2000 seater, it doesn't matter because there's an audience out there, and I'm just about to go out there. And it's such a weird feeling. But I feel that's the moment when we're most alive.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can feel it in your fingers and you can feel your heart racing and you can feel the air in your lungs and you can feel it because you've got to come in right on cue and you're there. So you're standing on the balls, like your tiptoes ready just to go in, bang. That feeling we live for. We live for. You don't get that when you're stuck behind a desk for hours on end. And Lord knows we've been there too. The call center jobs and the admin and the desk and the, we've been there. We've been in those jobs. We do those jobs so that we can have those moments of
the adrenaline and everything.
That is moments that we live for. And it's like, yes, it's daunting. Bearing your soul, sharing a piece of yourself. You've been working on something for a year, 2 years, 3 weeks, well, however long. And you said, look, guys, this is what I've done. Like when you, like, even as kids, you know, like, I refer to my own because I see them. It's just like, look, mommy, look what I did at nursery today. And it's just like, for her, she's put all herself into it, like into it. I don't see what she sees. I don't see it. I see what I see. She sees what she sees, but she's given herself and she looks at me with so much like, have I done it? Is it to your approval? And I'm like, it's not about whether it's my approval. Did you enjoy doing this? Then that's all that matters, darling. Well done. Well done. We'll put it there for a week before it gets replaced with the next one. But I look forward to seeing the next one and the next one and the next one, because life is about creating. Like, energy is neither created nor destroyed, and that's all that art is. It's come from somewhere, it lands for a minute, hopefully it inspires someone who creates something else, and it just goes on and on and on and on and on, and we are just able just to live in this space of just arts and creativity and boundless energy and people who love what it is that they do and are brave enough, courageous enough, fearless enough to share that with us. And that those moments, yes, they're scary. Yes, we're like, I haven't got a clue what I'm going to say. I'm going to look to Brad. I'm going to look Brad in his eyes and be like, you're talking. And Benji's going to like, well, I'm not saying anything. And so Brad's there, okay? Well, I'm, and we're like, you're the director, you speak. Because you're the actors. No, you speak. And it's, we all have those moments. But ultimately, like you said, especially when you're sharing it with friends and family, like it matters because they matter. We love them and they love us. And we hope that, not necessarily they get our art, they get who we are, but we hope that they like it a little bit, because critics are critics. Do you know what I mean? And people will always have something to say, and the net and social media will always have something to say. But unless you're doing something, say what you like, innit? Say what you like, because like, there's power in doing. And if you're not doing anything, then you can say, I could be interested in what you say. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and a review is always just an opinion anyway. And to be fair, so is the review of a loved one.
Of course, of course.
But there is something, it's like they see you in the work in a way that no one else is really.
Absolutely.
You think people are seeing you and of course they're not.
Yeah.
And you come to realise that over time, you're like, okay, as I get more distant from this, I realise I was actually safe the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But like
mm-hmm.
my mum will watch something, or in fact... My little brother and sister came to watch the play that I just did.
Of course, yeah.
My brother's never seen me perform.
Oh.
Ever. And my sister hasn't seen me on stage since I was in college myself.
Wow, okay.
She's 13 now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And at the end, she went, there were so many moments where I was just like, that's Adele.
That's Adele.
And obviously, I knew they were in the, and you know, I'm playing a real kind of piece of work at times. Yeah. And just so like, just silly. And there were moments where I just felt really self-aware. And no one would probably ever know, because I'm the only one that, you know, the reason I say it is because I was thinking about looking at you guys up there, and, and I don't know Sam Bradford well at all, but I know you and Sam Benjamin very well. And I would never have guessed that either of you were in any way nervous or anything. You just both look elated. In fact, Sam Benjamin was like, can we get on with this?
Yeah.
It's time to, maybe that was how his nerves manifested.
Yeah, definitely that.
But it's, from the outside, it never looks like what you think. But obviously when you're standing there, you're like, gosh, these people know my like quirks and they know, and they're going to watch it and they're going to see certain moments and they're going to think, oh, that's from her life, or that's from, that, you know, there's some truth
there's
in that.
Like, it's like there's in the beginning of the film, there's a like a montage sequence after my character gets fired and she heads home. And so you see little parts of her house.
Yeah.
And there is a picture of my late Nan and Gramps on their wedding day. And they're a mixed race couple. My granddad was from Montserrat in the Caribbean. My nan was from Ireland. So when we talk about no blacks, no Irish, no dogs, they had a dog named Jerry, and they lived in London Fields. They lived in London Fields. A Jewish man gave them a room that they, and they eventually took over the whole house with like my great grandmother, my great granddad, my mum, my auntie, and so on. The whole house was filled with them. But this is how, this was the origins, and that's my origins. That's where I come from, and the payday is in some form, in some ways, their legacy, my legacy, because I wouldn't be here without them. And so when you see that, just on, it's just a fleeting moment, you know, as part of that montage sequence. But for those that know me and know my relationship with my nan and my granddad, and know them, they picked up on it. They go, oh my god, that was so amazing the way you had your picture of your nan and gramps in there. But for other people, it won't necessarily hit home in the same way. But the fact that we're talking about, you know, a mixed race couple who were married for near 60 years by the time that my nan passed. Well, it was 58 and a half years by the time that my nan passed. And they had, you know, two mixed race daughters, you know, and six grandchildren, four great grandchildren. That, like, and however many people were against their union in the first place, and against their existence in the first place, you know, the way black people have been looked at, the way that Irish people, especially in England, in the UK, have been looked at, and we don't talk about that enough. But nevertheless, it's like the fact that they were able to do that, create that life for themselves, that has allowed me to create this life for myself, to create art that talks about them without saying anything about them at all. And when we talk about representation and everything else, that's what Being the Change is all about.
Yeah.
It's about saying that we're here, we've been here, and we will continue to be here doing what it is that we've always done, which has been amazing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And so it's important, like when you've got friends and family in there and they're like, oh yeah, that's Adele, that's Kyla. That there's even a moment in the film, because Marcus, my husband, he's in the piece as well, playing with the security guard in there. But there's a moment in the film where I'm like, oh my god, I just remember when I just wanted to, you know, meet like a tall, dark, handsome stranger and have been married with kids. And the whole theater just started laughing because there he is, sat next to me, and they know that we've been married for how long and we've got these kids. And it's just like that kind of, it's wonderful sharing art like that and having those tongue-in-cheek moments with people who know you. And yeah, that was really cool. That's really cool.
Does it feel crazy that, like, because that is awesome, and yeah, I really, once you get past all the like fear and everything, I think it is really nice to kind of share those moments that are very private, with people that know you very well. But does it feel, or how does it feel, knowing that there are people several thousand miles away engaging with your film, just like your everyday so-and-so who's like flicking through and say, like, oh, why don't we try this today?
It's so surreal. It's so surreal because, like, you know, like when you're getting reports in, and it's like, oh yeah, people saw it in, obviously at the moment it's distributed in the UK and the US, but like the US is a big place, you know, 50 plus states or whatever, and then you've got, you know, the UK is a massive place as well, and it's just the idea that people stumble across it when they're flicking through and they go, oh, I'll watch that, because they see a picture of me and Sam Benjamin on there, and for whatever reason it resonates with them to go and click play. I'm like, whoa, that's so crazy and yet so cool, because, like, you know, you create something that people actually want to watch. Do you know what I mean? And it's just, it's amazing. It's, yeah, I can't even say that I'm proud, because it's not even about pride. It's like, I'm giddy. Do you know what I mean? I'm just like, because when you're like a kid and you've always dreamed of, like, you know, we have big dreams, you know, like to know that, like, you know, like we can be involved in, you know, in Marvel projects, or, you know, Bond, or wherever we can do all these crazy things that people, you know, they've already got existing fan bases and stuff like that, and people already know the characters and whatever. But for you to create something from scratch that people have no affiliation with whatsoever, and they still want to take an interest in your work, that is so cool, man. I'm just glad that is even happening.
Yeah.
it's surreal. It's really surreal, but I'm grateful.
Yeah, it is exciting. And it's so bizarre. You just think, you're watching me. Like, yeah, someone right now might be watching,
yeah,
your film.
Yeah. and then you'll get a screenshot, like, from people, like, will DM you with a screenshot of, like, you, of them watching you, or a scene. And it's just like, oh my gosh, it's happening now, is it? Oh,
it's mad.
Yeah.
It's mad.
It is.
So, enjoying this gorgeous conversation, of course, but I'm going to move on to the request from the previous guest.
Okay.
And then to your request for the next guest.
All right.
So, the delightful Harry Collett came on just before you, and he asked, if you weren't an actor, what would you do, and would it be in the industry, or would it be out of it?
So this is a interesting question, because, like, all the choices I've made in my life to date, I've made with every intention of being an actor and being available to be an actor. So it's really hard for me to say what I would do if I wasn't that. I mean, don't get me wrong, I have other interests. I studied criminology and drama whilst I was at university. So, like, you know, that's, everyone goes, how do you do that?
Together? But,
yeah, it was a joint honours degree.
Wow.
But yeah, criminology and drama, theatre and performance studies. And I suppose that kind of sums me up, really, because I've always had an interest in, not necessarily in crime, because that makes me sound like a criminal, but in the sense of, like crime is ever present, in the sense that there are always good and bad people, but there are always lawmakers and lawbreakers, and who makes the laws and who breaks the laws and who decides what those laws are and how that translates into every part of our society, whether, you know, and then there's areas of, like, you know, deviance and immorality and all this. So I'm really sort of like intrigued by humanity and the human condition and societies on a whole, and just people, I guess. So I guess there would be some element of me academically still exploring that sort of side of things, perhaps. But fundamentally, I don't think I would be able to survive without creating, and having created a family, having created, you know, two wonderful daughters. Like now, if I wasn't acting, then I would be doing something that would allow me to live a fulfilling life while still enriching theirs. What that would be, I don't know. I don't know. But the fact that I get to spend so much of my time, the majority of time, with my daughters, is the most beautiful blessing. It can be a real ride, because parenthood really is that. Motherhood is like that. No lies. But it's also the most beautiful blessing, because I get to see these wonderful beings grow up and morph and change and evolve and grow and develop, and be party to that and have a hand in that, and just be in awe of them every single day. And just be so grateful for them every single day, and not have that be interrupted by having to be somewhere else for so little as well. Do you see what I mean? So I don't know what I'd do, but I know at this point in my life, I can't ever not be a mum. So that's my answer.
That's beautiful. What's your request for the next guest?
Okay. So my request would be, So in the payday, we talk a lot about 90s R&B. We love it. There is nothing quite like it. And we talk about, you know, hip hop and R&B karaoke. And there's a fun thing that myself, Sam, and Sam Benjamin did, where we filmed what we hoped would be the post-credit sequence for the payday, where we actually, George and Jen were, you know, doing their kind of karaoke thing. So my personal karaoke, lip sync karaoke song would be Tevin Campbell, Can We Talk? Every ad lib right down to the end. And yeah, all of this, all these body rolls. So my request for the next guest would be, what would be their go-to lip sync karaoke? And if we could hear a snippet, please and thank you.
Oh, she's putting me to the test. And is this a 90s song?
I won't limit it. I want to hear your heart's desire. What is your go-to? If someone threw you a mic right now and said, give it to me, baby, give it to me, what would you do? What would you do? That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to see.
Stunning.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll get a performance. It'll be the first performance of the podcast.
Oh, well, awesome.
Yeah. It'll be the normally it's just chit, chit, chat, chat. But we might actually get a performance out of somebody.
I'm here for it.
Time shall tell. Time shall tell. Okay, my darling, before I let you go, mm-hmm. I would like to know, what is your self-care intention for the foreseeable future?
I don't care about myself enough.
Oh.
That's the truth. Like, I care for others, like my family, the world at large, more so than I think I give myself that same sort of consideration and grace. So I just think to be kinder to myself, to be less harsh with myself, and to allow myself that same grace and love that I give to others. That's what I think I should do better for myself.
That's some real talk, man. That's some real talk. Listen, the way every week I'm like, rah, 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 I'm really harsh on myself. Uh-huh. Rah, rah, rah. Uh-huh. I have such high expectations of myself and such seemingly not high expectations of other people. Not in like a rude way, like I just give people a lot of grace.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of self-neglect that comes out of that. And it's unintentional. It's
completely.
Not like, oh, you know, I don't matter.
Completely.
It's just everything else matters more.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's some real talk. And I really hope you find ways of doing that.
Yeah. I don't know how, but I think at least even acknowledging that is a good place to start.
Definitely.
You know?
It's massive. It's massive. And, you know, you've got the cogs turning now. So I'm sure as you're driving home or, you know, over this kind of next couple of weeks of the end of the year, things will come to you like, what does Kyla like to do? You know, when's a moment Kyla can have for herself?
absolutely
You know,
and I'll tweet you,
please do. Tell me, message me, let me know what's going on.
I'm doing it.
Yeah, man, we all need a lot of love, and most of that has got to come from within.
Absolutely.
I think, and it's a journey for sure. Very much on it myself.
Yes we are all.
But yeah, I think that's some real talk. Thank you
thank
for your
you.
Honesty. I really appreciate that.
I appreciate you.
I've had such a nice time talking
to you.
Me,
I'm really happy we did this. I'm really happy because when you asked me, I'm so excited to do this because I've been wanting to kind of work with you in some capacity for so long, and like creating and art stuff, yeah, we can do, but just having a kindred moment.
Yeah.
Like what we were speaking about earlier, that's hugely important. So now I know for sure.
Yeah.
That this is
we boys.
Yeah. We're good to go.
We're good to go, man.
We're
for
good
sure.
To go.
Yeah, it's really important, I think, as well, that like we get to connect as like human beings and not just as like
colleagues or
acting
something.
Machines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like these little like cogs in a big wheel.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a time and a place for that.
Absolutely.
But no, this has been really nice.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
And there we have it. Kyla Fry, everybody. What a delight. I'm sure you'll agree. Just such a warm, wonderful person, and so inspiring the way that she's built Friday Entertainment, and you know, has got this gorgeous, really wholesome family life as well. You know, there's often this kind of thing that's said in the industry or about women in the world about like having it all, like it's not possible to have it all. And I don't think it is possible to have it all. But if we could all get a bit of what Kyla has, I think we'd be living all right. You know, she's doing really well for herself and she does it all with a smile on her face. And just think about the amount of time she said the word grateful. You know, she's really, really a special person, I think. And if you want to continue to follow Kyla's story, you can find her on Instagram at Kyla Fry Official. That's F-R-Y-E, Kyla Fry Official. And on Twitter at Kyla Fry. I really recommend following her, keeping up with what she's doing, and of course, all the wonderful others that she is championing along the way. And that's it from us, from me. Thank you so much for being a part of this special Monday for ITR Pod, this Double Bill Monday. And I look forward to meeting you again here this time next week for more shenanigans, for more real-time realness. And I hope that you have the most glorious week between now and then and take the very best care of yourself. Lots and lots and lots of love. Mwah, mwah, mwah.